This week, we decided to take a look at the presidents of the United States and a fun fact for each of them, some kind of interesting thing to hopefully be able to know a little bit about them a little bit more. So Camden has found this article on history.com, and it just has each president and a little thingy thing about them.
A little snippet, if you will.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We don't really know much about these. I think Camden's seen a couple of them, but...
yeah, we haven't really read through these, so...
So it'll be
interesting. We're learning with you.
Yes. It'll be all 46 of them.
Yes.
Starting with George Washington. Just says, the first U.S. president and Revolutionary War hero was an enthusiastic dog breeder, particularly of hunting hounds, to which he gave names like Sweet Lips and Drunkard.
That was
my nickname in high school.
Which one?
Just choose one. I don't know.
There are a few questions that arise when reading that, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Dog names are interesting. I think those were particularly interesting choices, but that's okay.
Do you think that's something he was into before he became this war hero and the president? Or do you think that was like a... Afterwards,
just
he's like...
a hobby
just
after?
Just settled down and become an enthusiastic dog breeder.
I have no idea. Not a clue.
We might never know.
All right, on to John Adams. Adams and his wife Abigail exchanged more than 1,100 letters over the course of their lengthy relationship. It's a lot of letters.
Yeah.
Do you think it was like a text conversation, just like through mail?
That's exactly what it was.
How you doing? Good. How are you? Good. How about, what did you do today? I don't know. Just.
Absolutely. That's exactly how it was.
How far apart did they live? I don't know. But.
I don't know. Is it worth seeing?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know if that's something that'll
He's pop. Not committing to that.
Well, we'll look at Thomas Jefferson, 1801 to 1809. Jefferson, the principal author of the Declaration of Independence, died on July 4th in 1826 within hours of his frenemy, John Adams.
They both died on July 4th.
Dang.
1826.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think there were three presidents that died on the 4th of July. Not the third one wasn't on the same year, I don't think, but
it's pretty crazy though.
James Madison was the shortest president at 5'4" and weighed barely over 100 pounds.
Oh gosh.
That's a tiny guy.
He's a little dude.
That is a little dude.
He's president for 8 years. You had this little guy. Little guy who spoke to him all those years ago.
Yeah. What was it? 85?
Yeah. Except for that was
John
Adams.
It doesn't matter.
we go to James Monroe. Other than Washington, Monroe was the only president to ever run essentially unopposed, coasting to re-election in the 1820 race.
Dang.
Yeah, that's...
Imagine being the guy who ran against him, and they are now describing him as essentially unopposed.
Yeah, because it doesn't say unopposed, it says essentially unopposed.
Essentially unopposed. That'd be crazy.
Goodness. Yeah.
John Quincy Adams. Years after leaving the White House, Quincy Adams argued a famous Supreme Court case that freed the captive Africans who had rebelled abroad the Amistad slave ship. I don't know what that means. Hold on.
Oh, you're gonna click on the.
Sure.
I mean, amistad, if it's like the Spanish word, means friendship. But I don't think that really makes much sense.
Well, if this ad would
a slave
go away.
Ship.
Most famous slave ship rebellion in American history. Interesting. That's kind of all it says that I want to read, but you know.
Yeah. Well, good on John Quincy Adams then.
Yeah, good for him.
Andrew Jackson. Jackson once killed a man in a duel. That's the most interesting thing about Andrew Jackson, I guess.
Apparently. Isn't he, like, super boring?
I guess.
I mean, my dad hates on him a lot.
He was president for 8 years, but, I mean, they don't even say who it was.
when it was. Just says that it happened.
He just killed somebody once.
I mean, I'm sure if I.
I mean, so did clicked Burr.
On this. Yeah.
But he wasn't president, so it's different, I guess.
Oh yeah, there's a
Charles Dickinson, who accused him of cheating on a horse race and then insulted his wife.
Wow.
I don't think I would kill him, but that's
interesting.
That's crazy.
Wow. No one was, and then there was a second duel. No one was killed in the second after both parties fired in the air. Wow. So Andrew Jackson just did duels, but then killed someone one time doing that. That's crazy. That's all that they say is interesting about him.
Yeah. Martin Van Buren was the first president to be born an American.
Oh, interesting.
That's crazy. All previous presidents were originally British subjects, having been born prior to 1776.
It's kind of interesting, crazy. Actually. Yeah. So 1837, well, he became president. So it took over 50 years for there to be
sounds about right.
an American president. It's kind of interesting. Yeah. Cool. William Henry Harrison, 1841. Harrison lasted only 32 days in office, the shortest stint of any president.
I don't remember why that was, but I think it's funny.
Yeah, I mean,
I was president for 32 days. That'd be crazy.
Did he really die from pneumonia?
Okay, oh, so maybe so he did die been. In office. They made it sound like he gave up, but he did not give up. He just passed away.
Yeah, it kind of looks that way. Yeah.
Pneumonia. All right.
All right. Well, interesting.
All right. John Tyler fathered 15 children, the most of any president.
Oh, dang.
Can you imagine being in charge of 15?
15.
I feel like I get kids' names confused when there's only three of them, or maybe two of them. Can you imagine having 15 kids you have to remember the name of?
Be a lot.
I mean, I guess you don't really have to. You just be like, hey, you. You know?
That's what they do anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
That explains why he's president for only 4 years, though. He's busy.
With his children, everybody.
Yeah, with his children, yeah.
Obviously.
That's what I meant. James K. Polk. During his term, Polk secretly purchased a number of enslaved children for his Mississippi cotton plantation. Wow.
And that's the most interesting thing about him, I guess.
Yeah, well... That's, yeah.
That's, have you ever heard of Polk, though?
No, well,
probably. I probably have, but I feel like he's not very well known, and I don't know why, but.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Zachary Taylor never voted in an election prior to being on the ballot himself.
Really? Wow.
I won't vote for anybody unless it's me. Thank you, next.
Old Rough and Ready.
Old Rough and Ready.
Huh. Interesting.
That's what they call them, I guess.
I guess. I mean, they had to call him something. And then he was only president for 2 years. I wonder why.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then Millard Fillmore. Fillmore was the last Whig president. The party imploded soon after he left office.
Interesting.
Huh. And there's another linked article. Oh, no, I shouldn't have clicked on this. It's taken a while. Yeah, it was just like there were two parties, the Democrats and the Whigs. The Whigs. Yeah, and then I guess he was just the last one, so.
And they were like, okay, we're done with Whigs now.
Yeah. So I guess is that when Republicans became more of a thing, or did that take a lot longer?
It might have been a while.
Scattering Whig leadership to upstart third parties like the Know-Nothings and the Republicans.
I wish they would have kept the Know-Nothings around. Because I feel like I know nothing.
Yeah, that spoke to you?
Yeah, that spoke to me.
Interesting.
All right, on to Franklin Pierce. The only president from New Hampshire, also attended college in New England. Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. Oh, it was New England. I was stupid for a second there and thought it said England, and I was like, wait, Maine is in the United States? I'm just dumb.
Mainly is.
Don't mind me just being stupid.
Oh, man. James
Buchanan.
Buchanan. Yep, that's how that's said. James Buchanan. In 1853, while serving as minister to Great Britain, Buchanan helped draft the 1854 Ostend Manifesto, which advocated for an American invasion of Cuba.
Interesting.
And that was a few years before he became president.
Interesting.
So interesting, huh?
He apparently he didn't do anything while he was president, but
nope, just
definitely before. Just before.
Yeah.
All right, on to Abraham Lincoln, who most of us know. Honest Abe was the tallest president at 6'4", may have had Marfan syndrome, a genetic disorder that causes people to be very tall, thin, and long-limbed.
Wow. Yeah, I mean,
who knew?
I always did think of him as being... That's funny with James Madison. I actually did think of him, like, for some reason as being a short guy. Maybe it's just I had heard it before. And then Abraham Lincoln, I always thought of as being, like, this super tall dude.
He was 6'4".
Yeah, so...
Taller than you.
It is, a little bit. Yeah, and I had heard that Abraham Lincoln was always, like, super depressed and stuff like that. Like, he was just a...
I've heard that.
A sad guy.
He's a good guy, though.
Yeah. Did a lot.
Yeah. Andrew Johnson.
Yeah. Though one of the few presidents without a pet, Johnson apparently cared for a family of white house mice, which he called the Little Fellows.
There's a link on white house mice, so I'm really interested. The Presidential Pet Museum seal.
Wow.
First pets of USA.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, there's a cat food ad. Andrew Johnson's mice.
Interesting.
He didn't have any, but he took care of mice for some reason. He befriended a family of white mice during his impeachment.
What is it with presidents and, like, naming things? Weird things. I mean, because this one he called the Little Fellows, and then which one was it called him? Zachary Taylor named himself Old Rough and Ready.
I don't know if he named himself that, though. That's
and then
just a
George Washington, Sweet Lips and Drunkard. Like,
do you think they were, like, sibling dogs, you know?
Maybe.
Like, they're Sweet Lips and Drunkard, just having a heyday.
Sweet Lips and Drunkard.
I don't know.
Do you think they were house dogs, or do you think they were these massive, like, outside dogs?
They were hunting dogs.
Oh, that's a good point. It did say that. Yeah.
He used flour and grain from his mills to feed the family of white mice. That's... Huh. Interesting. All right.
Well, there you go.
The more you know, I guess. On to Ulysses S. Grant. And there's an ad in my way. That's awesome.
Wow.
Civil War General Grant was invited to join Abraham Lincoln at Ford's Theater on the fateful evening of April 14th, 1865, but was forced to decline after he and his wife had made plans to visit their children in New Jersey. New Jersey saved Ulysses S. Grant? No, I'm just kidding. Maybe it didn't, but... That would be crazy.
Interesting.
Can you imagine, like, the rest of your life, you're like, man, what would have happened if I had been there?
That would be, yeah. That'd be pretty nerve-wracking.
That'd be crazy.
Jeez.
But said he was in New Jersey.
Gosh. Yeah, that'd be pretty weird.
That'd be crazy.
Rutherford B. Hayes. Hayes was the first president to have a telephone in the White House.
There's also a link to that for some reason.
1877. It's gonna be like, he was a BlackBerry. Page not found, so...
So, that link is
not
useless.
Not important, yep.
James A. Garfield, who was the first known left-handed president, was elected to the U.S. Senate, but never served as Ohio senator because he then won the Republican nomination for president. That's crazy. So he was elected for the Senate, and then he got elected for president, so he couldn't serve for the Senate. And he was left-handed, so there's that.
That's pretty weird. Is that why he was only president for...
1 year?
1881?
I'm pretty sure he died.
Oh, okay, well...
Maybe he didn't.
It's just kind of interesting. I mean...
I don't know.
Then Chester A. Arthur... Arthur was named in honor of Chester Abel, the doctor who delivered him. Well.
That's a weird thing to know. Do you think his middle name's Abel? Do you think that's what the A stands
a.
for?
Yeah, probably. Well, yeah, I think that's what that is.
That's strange.
I've never heard of this guy in my life, I feel like, so.
I've heard of him once, and that's, yeah.
I don't really know
I actually, much about him. Fun fact about myself.
Oh.
I got a white tiger stuffed animal from the zoo. And I named it Chester because I thought that was cool. Because I had just found out about Chester, the president.
Abel Arthur.
I did not president know his last name.
President from 1881 to 1885.
I did not remember that until just now. But
that was the full name of your...
No, it was just Chester. It was just Chester. I don't know why that was the name I picked.
You were fascinated at the time.
I'm sure I still have that somewhere.
Watch, we're both like forgetting some major event that Chester, Abel...
No.
Arthur was part of.
Nobody knows who that is. What was his fun fact? I already forgot. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, he's just named after another dude who we don't know. That's awesome.
Goodness.
22 and 24 was Grover Cleveland. He served two separate terms. He says, no president except Cleveland has ever served non-consecutive terms, which is now wrong because Trump is doing the same thing. He defeated James G. Blaine in 1884, lost to Benjamin Harrison in 1888, despite winning the popular vote, and then came back to defeat Harrison in 1892.
Dang.
That's crazy.
Sounds familiar.
Grover Cleveland?
What?
I feel like everyone's heard of Grover Cleveland.
No, it does. I'm just meaning that sounds like a lot like what happened.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what happened recently. With Trump and Biden. Crazy.
Then we go to Benjamin Harrison, and Harrison was the first president to hire a female White House staffer.
Let's look at the quick link. Page not found. That's awesome.
All right. History.com. Yeah,
so half of these links are outdated.
Except for the ones about, like, mice and stuff like that. The ones that don't really matter. The
ones that are super random. It's like, oh man, I want to learn about this female White House staffer. Never mind. William McKinley, number 25. McKinley's likeness appears on the $500 bill, which was discontinued in 1969. Can you imagine having a $500 bill?
Yeah, I mean, I actually saw a whole thing about this, a whole video about those dollar bills. So, yeah, I heard about this, and then there's the 1,000, 10,000, and 100,000 bills and stuff like that. And it's mainly used so that banks could transfer money. And
they were really just going for
the
monopoly vibe, weren't they?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, none of them, like, I think the 100,000 is illegal to own nowadays. Oh, so
if you have one, get rid of it.
I mean, I think it's, like, priceless, but the government doesn't want people to have it in circulation. So it's kind of interesting. Then we get to Theodore Roosevelt, and Roosevelt was the youngest president, taking office at age 42.
That's not very young. I'm not saying it's old.
Compared to some other presidents.
Yeah, compared to other presidents, yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
William Howard Taft, my favorite guy. Oh, hey, it doesn't say what I thought it was going to say. So, the William Howard Taft fun fact that I have,
ooh.
He got stuck in a bathtub, and they had to like get a crane to pull him out.
Oh, I did hear about that, yeah.
But the one they have, it says, famous for his corpulence, Taft was the first president to hurl the ceremonial fast first pitch at the Major League Baseball game.
Dang. 1909 to 1913. Oh, this one actually does have a working article.
Yes, it does. Interesting. It took 20 years for the commander-in-chief to become part of the tradition.
Oh, so it's just like a thing now.
I don't think I realized that. Now they do that like all the time, but he was the first one to do it.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. I did not know that about him. Huh. They reference him in Inside Out.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because they're like talking about which presidents they don't need in their long-term memory anymore. And they're like, well, we have this George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and the fat guy in the tub.
Oh, I see. But Chester Abel Arthur, the 21st president, wasn't one of them.
How many of you have actually heard of Chester Abel Arthur?
No, we have. I'm never going to forget.
Now you have, but I don't think anybody had before this. Except for me when I was like 6 years old then.
Yeah, maybe. Let's see, Woodrow Wilson. In a 1914 proclamation, Wilson officially established the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. Huh, that's pretty cool. So I guess it's not a very old holiday then. It's a little over 100 years, but he basically came into office, said this is Mother's Day.
Dang, good for him.
So that's kind
of
cool.
I don't know why, that's one of those things I've never thought about, like, it's first Mother's Day. It's So obviously I had to start somewhere, but
yeah.
Now you know where.
That's pretty cool.
Number 29 is Warren G. Harding. Prior to taking office, Harding wrote a series of lurid love letters to his mistress, the wife of one of his best friends.
Wow.
Now we're getting to the good ones, guys. Let's look at this link.
Oh, gosh.
Warren G. Harding's steamy love letters unsealed.
Oh.
It reveals a surprising side of the 29th president. Oh! Yeah, we're not going to read
these.
No,
let's not read this. I see. I see. Cool, 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 cool.
The romance wasn't the only thing heated between the pair. So was the growing debate about American entrance into World War I.
Oh, gosh. Well, if you want to read these, then there's a...
there's a quick link.
There's a history.com article that has That's his crazy. Letters. Yeah.
There's something. From what I saw. Yep.
All right. Well, Calvin Coolidge says he's a quiet man. Coolidge, what does that even say? Purportedly replied. You lose to a visitor who bet she could get at least three words out of him.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
He really just said bet. That was it.
Jeez.
That's crazy. That's so actually really funny.
Calvin was the first memer president.
I've heard of Calvin Coolidge.
I've heard the name, yeah.
I didn't know he was quiet. Or that he did that, but that was funny.
I don't know if I said that word right.
Purportedly. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway. Number 31, Herbert Hoover. An Iowa native who spent part of his boyhood in Oregon, Hoover was the first president to haul from west of the Mississippi River. Oh, sorry, hail.
Yeah.
I was like, haul what? Yeah, and you know, he's from the west of the Mississippi River.
Huh.
That's crazy.
Interesting. So it took until 1929.
Yeah. It's dang. Wild.
Then we get to Franklin D. Roosevelt. The longest-serving commander-in-chief claimed to be distantly related to 11 other presidents, including his fifth cousin, Theodore Roosevelt.
Well, that would make sense, because, you know, both Roosevelts. But yeah. 11 other presidents? That's crazy.
Out of the 31?
31 before him.
I guess 30, since there was two terms for one of them, but...
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's crazy. He had polio.
I do remember that, yeah.
I only know that because I... for the wax museum in fourth grade was a girl named Nancy Murky. Wow. Who also had polio, and her mom was like, well, you need to start swimming so you can like start to get better. So she threw her in the pool and then held ice cream out, and she had to swim to get the ice cream, and it worked anyway. So she met Franklin D. Roosevelt because they both had polio. So yeah, it was pretty cool. Anyway,
that's pretty cool.
Huh. On to Harry S. Truman. Some of these are sounding more familiar, but then we get down to, like, some that I don't know, and then we're like, oh, I know them, and then I don't, and then... Yeah, anyway, it kind of goes back and forth. Like, I know random ones. Yeah. Anyway, Harry S. Truman. The S in Harry S. Truman was just an initial. I did know that. It did not stand for any name. The S in Ulysses S. Grant didn't stand for anything either.
Interesting.
I think I knew that.
But why do they have
what's your middle name, S?
Why do they have a dot after it?
I don't know. That's the question. Because they shouldn't.
Because that's how, in my family, there's the middle name K, but there's not a dot. It's just the letter
be.
K.
There shouldn't be a dot after
it. So it makes it
K
look
makes
like...
more sense than S, though. Let's be honest.
Sure.
Do you just Harry Truman, or is it Harry S. Truman?
Harry's Truman. That's what you're saying.
Harry's Truman.
And Ulysses Grant.
Ulysses Grant. That's a good one. I don't know. That's the question. Why did history.com put a period after S?
I mean, that's probably how they put it, but...
But they shouldn't have.
Wait, there's a link to this?
Yeah, why did...
TrumanLibrary.gov.
Well, okay. Apparently there's a whole...
The suspense is killing
website
me.
...website about this.
If it doesn't load in the next 3 seconds, then... Oh, well, there it goes. You just have to complain about it.
Yeah, there's a Harry S. Truman website.
Oh, well, yeah, he just signs it with... S dot...
Yeah, why did he put the... Oh.
Oh, Mr. Truman apparently initiated the period controversy in 1862 when 19. Perhaps in... Or yeah, 1962, when perhaps in jest he told newspapermen that the period should be omitted. In explanation, he said that the S did not stand for any name but was a
compromise between the names of his grandfathers, Anderson Ship Truman and Solomon Young. He was later heard to say that the use of the period dated after 1862 as well as before. So, was that just someone like called him out and then he was like, nah.
He's like, no, it should be there.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, something like that, I guess.
Interesting.
All right, so there's supposed to be a period there.
And for Ulysses S. Grant. At least for him.
I don't know about Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah, I didn't bring that up.
Dwight D. Eisenhower, who I've heard of like once. The World War hero Ike, World War II hero Ike, was the first president to ride in a helicopter.
Oh, dang.
Where did the nickname Ike come from? That's what I would like a quick link.
Yeah,
for.
Why is there's like a quick link to ride in a helicopter, but not to Ike? I want to know where some of these names came from, you know?
Yeah, like where? I don't know. That's weird.
There was a video here that's just called John F. Kennedy and the TVA, and I thought it was talking about Loki, and I didn't really know what that meant. So
this guy.
Speaking of which, John F. Kennedy, after being injured and honorably discharged in World War II, Kennedy was briefly employed as a journalist during the waning weeks of the war.
That's sick.
Huh.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. So you just
like, well, I'm injured, might as well do something. Becomes a journalist.
Nice. Not too bad.
Just like that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Number 36, Lyndon B. Johnson. His first career was as a teacher. He worked at a school near the U.S.-Mexico border for 4 years before launching a career in politics.
I wonder if this says what he was a teacher of. Oh, no, it just brings you to another page. 10 fascinating facts about Lyndon B. Johnson.
Oh.
Well, I want to know if it says what he was teaching. As a student at Southwest Texas State Teachers College, Johnson was assigned to a tiny Hispanic school in a deeply impoverished area on the Mexican border. Johnson left his brief career as a teacher after 4 years to pursue politics. So it doesn't say what he taught. So weird. I guess it was just in general, but it was kind of interesting.
Oh, crazy.
Richard M. Nixon. Nixon became such a skillful poker player while stationed in the Solomon Islands during World War II that his winnings helped launch his political career upon his return to the United States.
Interesting. I did not know that about him.
Neither did I.
I knew a lot of things about him, but I did not know that.
Poker player.
He's a gambler and a liar. No, I'm just kidding. Wow. I'm just kidding.
Huh, that's pretty cool.
Didn't he get impeached or something?
I don't remember.
He just left office? He served for 5 years.
Yeah, so it could have been.
Anyway, Gerald Ford. Remember, honestly. Not Harrison Ford. Gerald Ford was a star football player at the University of Michigan. He turned down offers from both the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. That's crazy.
Dang.
Gerald Ford could have been a Green Bay Packer.
I also thought you were going to say Henry Ford, because isn't that...
Henry Ford is the guy who invented Ford cars.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were going to say.
My sister got those confused the other day.
Henry and Harrison?
Yeah. She's like, did Harrison Ford invent Ford cars? And I was like, no. She's like, that's Henry Ford, right? And I was like, yes. Harrison Ford is the actor.
Could have been both. Well, because apparently Gerald Ford could have been part of the Lions or the Green Bay Packers.
What if they made a movie about Henry Ford creating cars that are Ford cars? And Harrison Ford played Henry Ford.
Well,
he's probably too old for that now.
I don't know.
But that'd be cool. Gerald Ford played by Harrison Ford.
That as would a Green be Bay cool pack. To a few people. Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be that cool. But.
Yeah. And then they like change history. So at the time, the president is Gerald Ford and not whoever it would have been when Ford came around.
That'd be crazy. He just plays all of them.
He's all.
He shows up.
And he also plays himself, like about to star in Star Wars.
That'd be crazy.
Because that was also around this time, I believe.
That'd be crazy.
I don't remember what year Star Wars came out. Wow, that'd be cool too. A couple people.
or absolutely no one.
Jimmy Carter. When his father died in 1953, Carter gave up his successful military career to move back to Georgia and work on their family's peanut farm.
Interesting. Jimmy Carter was a peanut farmer.
As one does, I guess.
That rhymes. Moving on.
Okay, well.
So sorry. Give me a second. It's not that deep, guys. It's not that deep. Oh, number 40, Ronald Reagan worked as a lifeguard and sportscaster before becoming an actor and later a politician.
Dang.
Dang, so he was a lifeguard, sportscaster, actor, and president of the United States. He was like,
I don't really know what I want to do, so I'll do everything. He is the jack of all trades.
He's like, well, might as well. Okay.
Dang. Okay.
Crazy.
Now we get to George Bush. While a student at Yale University, Bush was captain of the baseball team and a member of Skull and Bones, an elite secret student society.
I wish there was a quick link there.
Yeah, like...
I want to learn more about Skull and Bones.
Gosh.
That's cool, but he's a captain of the baseball team at Yale University. That's wild.
It's a lot to live up to.
Yeah, literally. Bill Clinton, 42nd president. Clinton played the saxophone and famously performed on the Arsenio Hall show when he was a candidate for president.
Interesting.
Saxophone player.
Wow.
Wild.
Well, then we get to George W. Bush. Post-presidency, Bush took up oil painting, exhibiting his work at the Museum of the Southwest in Texas. I've got to see this painting.
There's a quick link, everybody.
BushCenter.org. Wow. Okay.
Why do they really just have a link for every president? Not everyone, but like a lot of them. Well,
some of them. Because, all right, out of many...
They're not even showing
they,
us...
They don't show the...
Click on that quickly.
Yeah, I don't think this is working.
It's a portrait of American immigrants.
Okay.
43 oil... No, it says the 43rd president.
Oh, so you have to, like, buy it.
Oh, there's a book.
Is that him painting?
Of his oil painting. Huh. I would... Yeah, that looks like George W. Bush to me. I don't know.
Well, there you go. There's a picture of him.
Oh, he painted 43 oil paintings, and he was the 43rd president.
I wonder if that was on
purpose. That's a random correlation, but I think it's cool. Number 44 is Barack Obama. Prior to becoming the first African-American president, Obama won 2 Grammy Awards for Best Spoken Word Album. His wife, Michelle, has likewise won a Grammy.
Dang. That's smart, guys.
Yeah, holy crap.
Then we get to the 45th and 47th president, Donald J. Trump. Before becoming president, Trump was a real estate developer, entrepreneur, and host of the NBC reality show The Apprentice. I feel like that's pretty
common knowledge. Wasn't he in The Sandlot with his son?
Maybe.
Like side characters? I don't know.
I think he did that randomly.
I like that every president has had a middle initial except for Joe Biden.
And Barack Obama.
Oh, and Bill Clinton. And George Bush. So there's Ronald a lot Reagan, of them. But it's Jimmy just like, even Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump, and then Joe Biden. Just Joe Biden. Anyway.
Not even Joseph?
Not even Joseph. It's just Joe. Biden overcame a debilitating childhood stutter after enduring bullying over the condition in grade school.
How long did you practice that in your head to make sure you didn't mess up Not saying at all. Debilitating childhood stutter?
But I messed it up. I must have inherited it from my father. Thank you, Dad.
Wow.
We make fun of him for that way too much. That's okay. I'm going to click on this. Do you think he still has that stutter? Because I've seen some memes. I don't want... Okay, never mind.
I think you have to pay to look at that ad.
Yeah, or I got that.
That
quick page. Link. And that is all, folks, for that one. We can go over to the other article
We probably should have done this at the same time so that...
It lined up. I thought about it.
A little bit.
I thought about it.
Because Camden had another article from the Constitution Center.
It's just a random one I found.
Presidential fun facts. But it only goes up to George W. Bush. For some reason.
Yeah, it just stops after that. They gave up.
Oh, it says it was from 2009. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back to number one, George Washington. His dentures were not made of wood, but rather of ivory, gold, and human and animal teeth, among other materials.
Well, how do you sum that, I guess?
That's a little disturbing, the human and animal teeth part. Like... Can you imagine, I know you don't want to, but can you imagine having another person's teeth inside of your mouth?
Yeah.
Or even another animal's teeth inside of your mouth.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, they do it for other things. I mean, teeth are a little weird, but there's people that have, like, organs and things for other people. Yeah, but teeth are a little different, I guess.
It's in your mouth.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, what bacteria? Anyway, it doesn't
I mean, back
it
then,
matter.
Too. I mean, who knows, but...
I know. It's better than wood, I guess, so...
Well, if you say so.
That's crazy.
Let's see. Oh, this is a double. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson both died within hours of each other on the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence in 1826. That's the same one we saw before.
We saw before for Jefferson. James Madison, the father of the Constitution, was only 5'4" and weighed less than 100 pounds. So, yeah, we're not really getting creative answers here, but...
Luckily, James Monroe's is different. It says it was the first president to have an outdoor inauguration in Washington, D.C., which was held on the site of the current Supreme Court building.
Dang. So it was outside, but now if you go there, it's not outside.
I guess not.
Which is an observation no one needed, but you're welcome. John Quincy Adams only agreed to speak with Anne Royal, the first woman to interview a president, after she commandeered... his clothes during one of his daily baths in the Potomac River.
Interesting. I don't know where that is.
So she was the first person to interview a president, but she stole his clothes when he was having his daily bath so that he would talk to her.
The river is in the eastern United States, the Appalachian Mountains in West Virginia, through Washington, D.C. into Chesapeake Bay. Okay.
Interesting.
Andrew Jackson was the first of seven presidents. Wait, the first of seven presidents born in a log cabin. Interesting.
Who are the other seven? I mean, six.
You know, I hope later on they say this is the second of seven, but
they probably won't. But probably I think not. That's an interesting thing that somebody found out. Some of these are just random. Like, why did people learn this?
Well, why are we sharing it? That's the real question.
I think it's great. Martin Van Buren owned two tiger cubs as pets, which were given to him as gifts from the Sultan of Oman.
Wow. That's pretty savage.
That's wild.
It's hardcore.
How many kids did he have? I feel like that's a bad combination.
Yeah, probably didn't after that.
Tiger
No, I mean, like, he didn't keep them around. Like, never mind.
The kids or the tiger cubs?
Well, one or the other. Like, I don't know.
He probably got rid of his kids because he got pets.
Yeah,
it's a gift.
I don't know. I mean, maybe when he was the president, he didn't have time for, you know, two tiger cubs.
Well, he probably wasn't taking care of them, but yeah, it's like, oh yeah, I have two tiger cubs.
Unless that was because he was president, since they were the gifts from the Sultan of Oman.
Probably.
I don't know. And then we have William Henry Harrison, not to be confused with Henry Ford or Harrison Ford, delivered the longest inaugural address in history, a 105-minute speech without a hat or overcoat. On March 4th, 1841, after developing pneumonia, he died in the White House exactly 1 month later, becoming the first president to die in office. Wow.
So, in March... he got pneumonia because...
probably because of his...
he was outside
almost
for 105 minutes.
Without a hat
without
or overcoat.
Without a hat or overcoat.
Huh. Interesting.
At least we know he died in office. That's crazy. Anyway.
Interesting.
John Tyler was the first president to have a veto overridden.
Wow.
Imagine. Be like, I actually want to veto that. And they're like, veto to your veto.
And you will be the first president. That's what you're going
to
be known for.
You will be the first one to be vetoed for it.
Took 10 of you. Interesting. All right. James Polk again was the first president to retire after one term and not seek re-election.
He was like, I'm done. That's it. Thanks.
Yeah.
Ooh, Zachary Taylor is the only president whose remains were exhumed after a medical examiner tested for poisoning in 1991. After reviewing the results, the examiner determined the arsenic levels were 700 times less than they would have been if the president had been poisoned.
Huh.
So he wasn't poisoned?
I guess not.
But they exhumed him in case he was poisoned.
I guess that's how they were, like, wanting to check.
Crazy.
Because they were several hundred times less than they would have been if the president had been poisoned. Yeah, so I guess not.
Huh. He was perfectly fine.
Interesting. Millard Fillmore refused an honorary degree of Doctor of Civil Law from Oxford, saying no man should accept a degree that he cannot read. Okay. Dang.
I feel like I still would have accepted it.
You would have.
It's like any degree is a degree, bro.
The Doctor
it's
of Civil
Law. It's an honorary degree, too.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
That's crazy. From Oxford, too. That's wild.
Just give it to Camden. She'll take it.
Yeah, just give it to me. I'll take it in his behalf.
Several years later. Several hundred or a couple hundred.
Franklin Pierce was the first president to cancel the inaugural ball due to the death of his son. Sorry. That's sad.
Wait, first... Oh, he canceled... Okay, he the first to cancel. I thought it was saying it was the first president to cancel because of the death of a son. Not just he was the first to cancel.
Oh.
Like, I thought it was even... like
he's the first one to have a son die.
You had to find something for him.
Yeah, that was right. No. He was the first one to cancel the ball, period.
Okay. But it was because of the
death
of his son.
But it was because of the death of his son.
Gotcha. James Buchanan is the only president who never married. His niece performed the role of White House hostess while he was in office.
Did okay. he not have any sisters?
I guess
feel like
not.
The niece is random, you know?
Yeah, maybe he didn't.
I don't know. That's
maybe she was a politician or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
But yeah, the only president who never married.
Crazy. Abraham Lincoln was the only president to obtain a patent. In 1849, he invented a complicated device for lifting ships over dangerous shoals by means of buoyant air chambers. Much to his disappointment, U.S. patent number 6,469 was never put into practical use.
Dang.
That sucks.
That's about the most random fact you can get.
Yeah, I've never heard of
that. He filed a patent. Yeah. For buoyant air chambers.
And he got it too. He obtained the patent, but they never used it.
Huh. So that means it's still there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Interesting. Andrew Johnson was buried with his head resting on a copy of the Constitution. Huh. What?
Why?
I don't know. Maybe he died that way. He was like sleeping or something.
Just casually using the Constitution as a pillow.
A copy.
Still though, I don't. Okay, like great. That's awesome that you were president. But I don't know. That's just random. I don't know. I have no. Anyway.
I don't know.
Ulysses S. Grant. Ulysses Grant.
Ulysses Grant.
Was born Hiram Ulysses Grant. I knew that, but changed his name because he did not like his monogram, H-U-G. I wish I could do that.
So, where is the S
come
from?
So now he's USG. I don't know.
Well, because...
He's like, quick, pick a middle name. It's the letter S.
But, so he was basically gaslighting everybody into thinking... His name was just something different. Because he could have just gone by Ulysses Grant or something.
He had to put the S there.
And then why is it... I don't know.
Where did the S come from? That's a question we'll probably never answer. But that's okay. That's crazy.
Let's see. Rutherford B. Hayes held the first Easter egg roll on the White House lawn. Wait, what? Held the first
they
Easter
roll
egg roll?
Easter eggs?
Is that meant to be a different word, or Easter egg roll?
No, I think it's Easter egg roll. I just don't know what it means.
An Easter egg roll. Let's see. Easter rolling. Or no, egg rolling. Egg rolling, or an Easter egg roll, is a traditional game played with eggs at Easter. Different nations have different versions of the game, usually played with hard-boiled or decorated eggs.
And that's it?
Oh, wait. The White House Easter egg roll is April 21st, 2025. So...
It's coming up. Mark your calendars.
Mark your calendars. Interesting.
That is really... That's interesting. All right, well, who knew?
Learned something there.
James Garfield was the first presidential candidate to spend more than $1 million on his campaign. Huh. Okay, imagine this.
I'm going to see how much that is.
You casually drop $1 million on a campaign. Like, it's nothing. Can you imagine being that rich? because I can't.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. And that was in 1881. So that was $1 million. How much is... I'm going to make sure I type that right. $1 million from 1881 worth today.
Roth.
Yeah, whatever. It's about almost 31 million.
30,941,666 and 67 cents. That's a lot of money.
I wonder how that compares, though, to
31 million.
Two campaigns today, though.
Yeah, how much did Trump spend?
How much was Trump's 2024 campaign? I don't know if it says, but oh.
I should probably say how much money.
I think I just saw on a different website. Donors spent an astonishing $4.7 billion.
That's donors, though.
Oh, it's right here. The Harris campaign raised $97 million, and the Trump campaign raised only $16.2
million. Crazy. So he spent probably way more, even though he's the first one to spend a million.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's...
I mean, donors are a bit different, but I don't think there's really info out yet.
Why are Elon Musk and Trump, like, besties all of a sudden?
What's up with that? I don't really pay attention.
Know? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't pay attention to politics.
I think they're both rich. Probably.
That makes sense.
That's probably what it is.
Back to Chester Arthur. Chester A. Arthur, if you will.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited for this one. Chester Arthur was the first president to take the presidential oath of office in his own home, located on Lexington Avenue in New York City. Did you just yawn during that one?
Yes, I'm very tired.
Was Chester Arthur's really that boring to you?
I'm not bored. I am just tired. That's a weird fun fact, though. I don't know.
Huh. Well, sounds about right for Chester, I'm not going to lie. So, let's go to Grover.
This is an interesting fun fact. Okay, Grover Cleveland personally answered the White House phone. So if you call up the White House, if you know that number, Grover Cleveland would have answered.
Oh, man.
Himself.
Good to know.
That's probably a lot of phone calls.
I bet it is, yeah.
I would be so done with people.
Just didn't have but a secretary or something?
Good for
didn't
him.
Didn't have a niece, like,
maybe he just
whoever
chose
that was
to,
before?
Well, he probably had a first lady.
Well, yeah, but I mean... You can't have the first James lady answering Buchanan. The phone all the time. Then she would be busy.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure they have secretaries. I just think that maybe he just wanted
he
to.
He just wanted to.
He's just
someone
a good
had
guy.
To do it, so he
know.
Figured he could.
Someone had to do it, and he stepped up to the plate.
Well, but also, he didn't have anything better to do for 8 years.
I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
Was it every time, or did he miss it sometimes?
I don't know. Well, it says he personally answered the White House phone. That could have been one time, and the fact would be true.
That's actually facts. I don't know.
Benjamin Harrison, not to be confused.
No, we're not
with
doing
Harrison
a whole Harrison
Ford,
movie.
Or whoever that was earlier,
William
Henry
Harrison.
The first president to have electricity in the White House, once got an electrical shock, leading his family to often refuse to touch the light switches and sometimes leave the lights on at bedtime. So...
traumatic experience for the Harrison family.
I guess so.
Yeah, I don't know. Why wouldn't they just like hit it with something to turn it off?
I don't know. They didn't think of that. Yeah, you've had your whole life to think about this, Camden. That was new to them.
Okay.
I don't know.
William McKinley was the first president to use campaign buttons.
Oh, like to put on your shirt or
yeah,
something?
That's a weird trend to set, you know?
What year was this? Let's see. Look up. 1897.
Oh. Yeah, because he was
born. That's when
born
he was born. So 1897 to 1901.
So about 1846.
Yeah, turn of the century. Those campaign buttons were the big thing.
I guess.
All right.
Theodore Roosevelt.
Well, he set what was then the world record for the most handshakes in one day, with 8,513 handshakes at the White House reception on January 1st of 1907. Huh.
There's a New Year's resolution for you, everybody.
All right, what is the new... what is the record for the most handshakes in one day? It just pulled up with his, but it said it was once the record.
Yeah, but I think it still is.
Has nobody really?
That's been documented.
Oh, right here. Guinness World Records officials say the overall record is held by a man from India who clasped a record of 31,118 hands.
Was he doing it on purpose, though? Because I feel like Theodore Roosevelt was not trying to.
Theodore Roosevelt's like, all right, we can get this.
All right, guys.
Oh, and it was broken again in 2012, 48,870.
That's crazy.
Once again in India. So, interesting. But, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, basically, he still has it. No, I'm just kidding. In my mind, it will always be 8,513.
Well, the United States, at least, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, as far as the Guinness Book of World Records
that's
says.
That's true, I guess. William Howard Taft started the tradition of the president throwing out the first pitch of the baseball season at a Washington Senators game on April 14th, 1910.
There's the one we saw earlier.
Yeah.
And then Woodrow Wilson is the only president buried in Washington, D.C. at the National Cathedral.
Out of all 47 of them, minus a couple because repeats.
Yeah.
He's the only one. That's crazy.
That is actually kind of crazy.
I'm still waiting for the other ones that were born in a log cabin.
I know. Where are the other six?
Warren Harding was the first president to visit Alaska and Canada.
Wow. That's pretty crazy. Was this before Alaska was a state?
On purpose? I'm confused about that one. I don't know. That seems random.
Because that was 1921. And Alaska was a state like in 1941, I think.
That's something I would not know.
1959. It was close.
So it was after?
Before.
It was before it was a state.
I think. I can double check.
No, you're right. I just wasn't paying
attention. Yeah, it was before. Like 30 years before.
Crazy. That wasn't him being born 30 years before. That was him in office, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Calvin Coolidge was the only president sworn in by a former president, Chief Justice William Howard Taft.
Wow. Not to be confused with Henry Ford. I'm just kidding.
The joke's dead. Let it die.
I'm sure it is. Herbert Hoover refused to accept a salary for his presidency and gave all of his federal paychecks to charity. Huh. Interesting. Wonder how much money that is.
Probably a lot.
Probably.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Interesting.
Good guy, I guess.
I guess.
Franklin Roosevelt was a devoted stamp collector who kept up his hobby while in office.
Dang.
He's got a lot of stamps.
Do you think he ever got stamps with his own face on them or something? Is that a thing?
That'd be crazy. Potentially, yes.
I mean, are there stamps with presidents on it?
I would assume that there were some at one point in time.
Yeah, maybe.
That'd be crazy.
Let's see. Oh, this is what we saw before. The middle initial S in Harry Truman's name is not an abbreviation and does not stand for another name.
Dwight Eisenhower was an avid golfer who installed a putting green on the White House lawn.
Okay.
Respect, Ike. I still don't know where that nickname came from.
I forgot that was him, yeah. Ike.
All right.
John F. Kennedy was the first person born in the 20th century to become president.
That's a flex.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That is pretty crazy.
Lyndon B. Johnson graduated from high school at the age of 15.
Dang.
I thought I said 35 for a second.
You were like...
Because I was getting mixed up with some other numbers, and I was like, that's old, but 15, that's impressive.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Richard Nixon was the first president to visit all 50 states. Was that when there were 50... Or no, that would have been a bit before then that there were 50 states, huh?
Probably.
I don't know. Let me look up. Yeah, it was shortly after Alaska and Hawaii became states, so.
Makes sense.
I guess it makes sense.
Wild.
Let's see. Gerald Ford is the longest living president.
It says is, but is he still alive?
No, I don't think so. That's not a chance. Here.
I don't know how your laptop works.
All right, look up.
He died in 2006. Yeah. So that was before this article was even made.
Otherwise, he would be 112 years old.
That's crazy. But instead, he was only 93.
Oh, wow.
Bummer. James Carter was the first president to use his nickname Jimmy while being sworn into office.
Wow.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter. Everyone knows him as Jimmy Carter, right?
No, it'd just be funny. I just imagined someone walking Jimmy. Down. Like, it sounds so casual that I see random people walking down the hall like, hey, Jimmy, what's
Jimmy.
Up?
Jimmy! Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just funny. Jimmy. Ronald Reagan appeared in 53 Hollywood movies from Love is in the Air in 1937 to The Killers in 1964.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
53 movies.
That's a lot of movies.
Yeah. I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Maybe I could. I don't know. I don't know what filming a movie looks like, but that's wild.
Well, I think that's a lot.
Yeah, that is. Yes, it's a lot. George H.W. Bush was the only president to serve as United States ambassador to the United Nations.
Huh.
Fascinating.
That is pretty interesting. William J. Clinton was the first president to have been a Rhodes Scholar.
Is that Bill Clinton?
Yeah. Because Bill is just short for William.
I don't know why they do that.
What do you mean?
It's weird to me. Like, his name should be Will or Billiam, you know? I know Will Billiam or... is stupid, but how do you shorten William
You've never
Bill?
Heard of William Nye? Is it Bill Nye?
Yeah, I got
Or that. The Bullet William?
I just don't... That was stupid. I don't understand why people do that. I don't know. Maybe that's just a pet peeve of mine. Like, if you're going to have a name, shorten it to something that makes sense.
Well, what about, like, James and Jimmy?
I feel like that makes more sense than William to Bill. I don't know.
This is really upsetting.
It bugs me for no reason. But he does have a middle initial, so that's good enough.
I get. Well, unless it's just all a scam.
His
who
name
knows
is actually
anymore.
Bill Clinton, and only Bill. I don't know. I don't know why that's bugging
Bill
me.
Bill isn't even his name.
I don't even know what a Rhodes Scholar is. I'm just worried about the fact that
fine.
His name is William J. Clinton.
A Rhodes Scholar is a person who receives a Rhodes Scholarship.
That's crazy. I never would have guessed. No idea what that means.
Let's see. Siri Knowledge says, the Rhodes Scholarship is an international postgraduate award for students to study at the University of Oxford in Oxford, United Kingdom. Scholarship is open to people from all backgrounds around the world. It is one of the oldest graduate scholarships in the world and one of the most prestigious international scholarship programs.
Crazy.
Yeah.
George W. Bush was the first to follow his father as president since John Quincy Adams in 1824. Yeah, we all knew that. That's a duh, obvious kind of fact. That's not a fun fact about presidents. I have a slideshow somewhere. Did I ever tell you about this? Because we had to do a lesson planning for Ms. Hawk's class, junior year, for English. And I chose to do it on the presidents, and we had to, like, teach the lesson to the class. And so I had, like, a slideshow, and they had to, like, guess which president had which thing.
Wow.
I should find it and see if they're different.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are.
You just got your sources from constitutioncenter.org.
I definitely did not. I think I just looked up each individual one online. Maybe I went to half of the presidential websites because there's a bunch of those for some reason.
Apparently there are. Well, if hopefully you guys learned something or enjoy something here. If there's another fun fact we didn't cover, you can let us know. But yeah, enjoy your... what's it called? President's Day weekend. Go buy a mattress or have a barbecue or something.
But don't wear white. That's the thing. Have you heard of that?
No.
Well, this is awkward. Never mind. Do whatever you want.
What are you talking about?
They say don't wear white after President's Day or something.
Oh, really?
I don't know. It's a really weird...
Isn't every day after President's Day? After...
Exactly. Exactly. I've always been confused. Like, what point does it reset? Like, January? Because then that's like 5 days that you can wear white.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either.
You just made this up one day.
No, I didn't. It's a real thing. Google it right now.
Oh, my gosh. This better be good. What is the real weird rule about wearing? Oh, my gosh. All right, let's see here.
It's Labor Day. I knew it was one of the two.
The AI overview corrected you. It's, you shouldn't wear white after Labor Day, not President's Day. It's an outdated fashion rule, stems from the idea that white is a summer color associated with vacationing by the wealthy. So wearing it after Labor Day, which marks the unofficial end of summer, was seen as...
faux pas.
A faux pas signifying a lack of fashion sense or social awareness.
It's crazy. I was going to say I didn't feel like it was Labor Day or President's Day, but I didn't remember what the other one was called.
I don't know, you went all in with that. So.
Anyway.